Hey, welcome to Girls in Heels on today's show. You know, the twins have the day off, which is good for them. Everybody deserves a little vacation. Those two work a lot. I have to say, really, all I do is this show. So I don't need much time off. I work once a week these days. So perfectly okay. Taking a week off, you'll talk to them again next week. But for now, we are going to be talking about a study about showering. I'm sure they would have loved to weigh in on that. We'll talk about that. And what do people earn, especially celebrities? A new study came out about what celebrities earn. I am your host, Cooper Lawrence. As I said, my co-host, Teresa Aprea, Nicole Napolitano, the twins from The Real Housewives of New Jersey, have the day off. So you are stuck with me. Yes, poor you. But listen, this is a very interesting study because I don't know how you guys feel about showering. Hopefully you shower every day. Not everybody does. And when it comes to the summertime, I shower several times a day. I hate being hot. I hate being sweaty. The minute I leave the house, I just feel like, ugh, sticky. So I've been known to shower 2-3 times a day in the summer. In the winter is a totally different story. Because when it's cold, you know, and you're wet and your hair is wet. If I had short hair, I'd probably have a very different opinion about this. But with long hair, you know, it takes forever to blow it out and you're not going to walk out with wet hair. So to be honest, I shower a little less over the winter than I do over the summer. But it turns out I'm not alone. Because did you shower this morning, by the way? Or just walk out the door smelling like a dumpster? Well, Time Magazine recently did a poll. They found a surprising number of Americans don't shower every day. In the winter, I would be one of them. Only 53% said they shower at least 5 times a week. 25% said 3 or 4 times a week. 15% said twice a week. And 8% only shower once a week. But apparently that's not as gross as it sounds, because according to an infectious disease expert at Columbia University, showering more than twice a week doesn't really help as far as hygiene goes. It might actually be a bad thing. So if you're somebody who doesn't shower every single day, this is good news for you. Take heart. All your friends that make fun of you because you miss a shower or you don't shower every single day, you're a smart cookie, because apparently Columbia University says it dries you out and makes you more prone to skin infections. So if you are somebody who has eczema, I have friends that have all kinds of skin problems, and their doctors all tell them, don't shower every day, because it does dry you out and it makes your skin condition worse. So there you go. There are reasons to take more showers, and there are reasons to take less showers. If you go to the gym, obviously shower, you know, the sweat, all that stuff all over you. Clearly, you know that. Working in the garden is another thing that they say, that you should definitely shower afterwards, or at least wash your hands really well, because all the chemicals people use in the garden could be very bad for you. Touch your eye, forget it. You know exactly what that's like. And then you get someone like me who likes spicy food. Put a little spice on your food, get that on your finger, touch your eye. Not a good situation at all. So, you know, at least wash your hands, please. If you're not going to shower, at least wash your hands. How about that? Speaking of dirty things, if you are going to the gym, great new study for you. The average exercise bike and the average exercise treadmill in this study had 1.3 million potentially bad bacteria on it. That's 417 times more than the average toilet seat. I'm somebody that hovers in the bathroom. I got into trouble. I don't know if I've told you guys the story. I got into trouble. This is like a few months ago. So I don't like to touch anything in a bathroom. When I do, I take a paper towel and I touch things with a paper towel. You know, certainly the doorknob. And whenever I flush with my foot. Well, I was at this radio station that I used to work at, and I had hovered like I do. And then when I got done hovering, I turned around and I flushed with my foot. Well, there was a line of women standing outside, and I guess one of them, either she saw my feet underneath or she was looking. I don't know. It was weird. I came out, and she said, did you just flush with your foot? And I should have just said, none of your fucking business. Like, what are you doing looking at me under the stall, you creepy, bizarre woman? Instead, I felt the need to answer her, and I said, yeah, of course I flush with my foot. I mean, I'm not going to touch it with my hands. It's the toilet. It's a toilet, a toilet seat, and a toilet thing. It's the toilet. It's a bathroom. It's a public bathroom. And she said, well, I flush with my hand, and most of us do, and we don't want to have to touch whatever's on the bottom of your foot. And I was like, but see, that's why you should flush with your foot, because someone like me might have flushed with my foot, and then whatever on the bottom of my foot is now going to be on your hands. She went ballistic, and the woman behind her was also a hand flusher. So she was like, oh, that's so gross. You flush with your foot? Why don't you at least use a tissue then? Like, if you don't want to touch it with your hand, use a tissue. So I don't know why suddenly I was now the person who was really conserving paper was suddenly very important to me. And I said, why should I waste tissue when I have a perfectly good foot? So I guess this one woman was in heels and she was like, I'm not going to turn around and flush when I'm wearing heels. Why should I get off my balance or use my shoe? And it became this like argument in the bathroom about like how you flush. Do you use your hand or do you use your foot? So I wonder if that's, I wish this was a call-in show because I'd love to know what you guys think. I mean, do you flush with your hand? Do you flush with your foot? Is it different for men than women? You know, be aware of that when you're around people in a public bathroom. Like, I'm not saying like creep underneath and look, but if you happen to notice, do like your own little scientific study and see if, you know, people are hand flushers or they're foot flushers. Because it never occurred to me that that was an issue. I just thought, people flush how they flush and they get on with their lives. I didn't expect to be yelled at in a bathroom based on how I flush the toilet. But anyway, so that's the that's understandable in a bathroom. This study is finding that if you're someone who goes to a gym, this is a good reason to avoid going to a gym, by the way. If you don't work out, good for you. You're not going to get, I get sick when I go to the gym a lot, I find. And I don't know whether that's because when you work out, it does something to your immune system and the sweat or any of that kind of stuff. Or if it's just because, my guess is there's just so many germs around. You know, I used to work in a gym back in the day. I was a personal trainer when I was a kid. And I got sick all the time. That place was just a petri dish. People were sneezing and coughing on stuff. And we had a guy that was really, really good at cleaning all the equipment. But I guess he didn't clean it well enough, or it was just overuse. You know, people keep getting on. You can't, like, get on and clean right after and get on and clean right after. And then you get the people at the gym that they sweat all over the equipment. And they either do a really lame job of taking their towel and mopping it up, or they don't mop it up at all. I've gotten on a piece of equipment and like there's sweat all over it. And I'm like, this is gross. I'm not getting on this. So another reason to not go to the gym, by the way. But treadmills and bikes, mostly covered in germ positive COCCI, which causes skin infections. I don't know, whatever COCCI is, a COCCI. It's not E. coli. I know that. So whatever this germ is, this is what's all over your gym. All right. Well, Parade Magazine recently released its annual What People Earn issue. This is just this week. And when it comes to celebrities, Taylor Swift cleaned up over the past year, which I'm sure you're not surprised about. You know, her album 1989 was number one for like a gazillion weeks, and her tour did really well. She has a perfume out, of course. And, you know, a lot of these celebrities just have products, and they have a lot of the money they make really is on touring, because once they do an album, even though they make some money off the album, people like Taylor Swift, who their albums sell so much, they eventually make money. You'd be surprised how little a lot of these celebrities, a lot of these entertainers and pop stars make on their album sales, because so much of that money goes back to the record label. So Kanye is a really good example. You know, we heard recently that Kanye is $53 million in debt. And people said, oh, it's ridiculous. He really is. And the reason is because every time he makes an album, he has an entire team of people that he takes with him and travels, because he feels like he never knows when he's going to be creative. You know, he can't just go into a studio, record an album, and be done with it. He's somebody who travels with a lot of equipment, and then people to run that equipment. So that posse right there is incredibly expensive. So he might be in Paris, he might be doing a fashion thing, he might be, who knows where he's going to be, but he wants to have people around him all the time in case he feels like he wants to create. So that is one expense that his record label pays for. So when he makes money off an album, he's got to pay them back. And then every time Kanye makes finds a single or a song that he's really proud of and happy of, which is really all of his albums, he likes to make a video. And you have to make a video now because people watch on YouTube and Vimeo, and it's really important to have, even though back in the day people would turn on MTV, videos are more important now because that's really what sells music, certainly online. So they give him a budget for his videos, and usually it's a million or under, and he always, always spends more than $2 million. This is documented, that he always ends up spending at least double of what he's supposed to be spending on his videos. So now add that to the pot. Now he owes that money as well. And then whatever expenses and music and whatever other costs come up, he ends up owing to his record label. They take that off the top. So let's say his album makes $1 million and he owes them $800,000. He only walks away with $200,000, for example. It ends up being a lot less than that. I mean, luckily, his Life of Pablo sold 94,000 copies, which is not a lot. I mean, 94,000 copies is a lot. It's a lot. But there was a time that you sold millions of copies. Millions. And you made that kind of money. So 94,000 copies is really not enough. It still debuted number one on the Billboard charts. Because now you just need less to debut higher. Same thing with book sales. You know, there was a time that selling 5 million books, you were number one, you were a bestseller. Now you can sell 100,000 books and be number one and a bestseller. I mean, granted, 100,000 books is a lot, but it's just not what it used to be. It's just not as much as it used to be. So 94,000 copies of Life of Pablo is probably not enough money to get him out of debt. So here he is again, getting into debt with his record label. Then on top of that, he has his fashion line. Well, that's expensive too, and he pays for that. He pays for all that. He doesn't have a lot. Now he probably has investors, but initially he didn't. So that's how a lot of them get into the red, you know, when it comes to finances. So Taylor Swift is somebody who did very, very well. She made a lot of money, and she was able to pay back her record label, whatever. Going on tour is a great way to make money because almost all that money goes to you. You pay your band, you pay the tour people, but everything else is yours, the merchandise, all that stuff. Taylor Swift made $80 million last year. Just 1 year, $80 million. So that's pretty good. Chef Gordon Ramsay, you know, there was a time that he was on every single show, and he had his own show on BBC America, and he had his own show on whatever it was, ABC, NBC. I didn't watch it. But he's still doing really well with the cookbooks and the restaurants. You know, he owns restaurants all over the world. He made $60 million last year. To put this in perspective, Lady Gaga made $59 million. Now, that's a lot of money, but Chef Gordon Ramsay made $1 million more than Lady Gaga. I mean, think about that. Doesn't that just feel ridiculous? Like, Lady Gaga seems like she should make more than Gordon Ramsay, but, you know, a lot of celebrities get involved with something other than music. And that's really how they make a lot of their income. I don't know if you saw this weekend, CBS Sunday Morning. I'm sure you didn't because I don't think anybody under the age of 80 watches that show. But in case you did, you saw Hugh Jackman. Now, Hugh Jackman, you know, very famous. He was Wolverine. He is Wolverine. Does a lot of Broadway, you know, makes a lot of money in films. Kind of really well known. Les Mis, all that kind of stuff. He has a new venture. He has opened not one but two coffee shops. He owns coffee shops in Lower Manhattan in New York City. And these coffee shops are making him a lot of money, but every dime of it goes to charity. Literally every cent. He takes no money. Obviously, he pays the rent. He pays his staff. But any surplus, which is a lot because it's tiny, tiny little shops and they're making a lot of money. He had done a documentary a while back about this group of people who make this fair trade sustainable coffee, which, you know, in my world, that's the only thing you should be drinking anyway, frankly. That's what I drink. I like the fair trade sustainable stuff. And I go to Everyman. Like, I'm a big local coffee shop gal. And there's an Everyman on 13th Street and there's an Everyman in Soho. I love those two because of this same exact thing where it's all sustainable coffee and a good portion of the money goes to support full communities in Ethiopia. So that's what this particular coffee shop that Hugh Jackman owns is doing. It's supporting two separate communities in Ethiopia who grow the beans and who are able to sustain themselves just based on this. And they basically, they're little communities where everybody works for the local growers, and they were able to support themselves, and a lot of them came out of poverty because of this new movement for fair trade coffee. So if you're going to go out and drink coffee, there's a good reason to drink this coffee. And the reason is because you're not just, you know, you don't want to put money in the pocket of Maxwell House anymore, do you? I mean, you want to make sure that you're, it's a way to give to charity. You're drinking better coffee, and the coffee you're drinking is literally sustainable and sustaining full communities. So there you go. And that's what Hugh Jackman is doing right now. He is not on this list. Judge Judy is, but she's fallen a little bit because if you remember, according to Parade magazine, Judge Judy used to be like, I mean, she made more money than anybody in the world. She still has $47 million that she made last year, which is more than Leonardo DiCaprio, who made $29 million. And poor Ronda Rousey only made $6.5 million. She's the bottom of the list. I mean, $6.5 million is pretty good, I think. But I guess for a celebrity, you know, Ronda Rousey kind of had her year. But I think, you know, she's probably going to get some really great endorsement deals, and that's how she'll make, you know, the bulk of her money. And finally, in the world of celebrity, we have to talk about a Kardashian. I apologize if you're anti-Kardashian, but let me tell you something. If you don't think the Kardashians are important, go look at their bank account. Every single list, they're always on every single list of popularity. And I feel like they're the people that people love to hate, or they love to love them and they're embarrassed to say that they love them. It's one or the other. I never know which it is. I feel like people hate watch the Kardashians, but it's themselves that they hate for watching it, for wanting to watch it. And I don't watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but I am a Kardashian follower because I find the family fascinating. I just think they're fascinating because being famous for nothing and then having millions of people spend their money on you is just, it's an absolutely fascinating phenomenon. But Khloe Kardashian, she now claims that she's washed her hands of Lamar Odom. Now, after he went through his coma and all his medical problems, she stood by him, and there was some rumors that they were getting back together, but it doesn't look like it because, of course, she can't just keep anything personal. She had a post on Instagram. She said, "Sometimes the person you want most is the person you're best without. Be careful when trying to fix a broken person, for you may cut yourself on their shattered pieces." Kind of beautiful. I got to say, that's kind of beautiful for Khloe Kardashian. But I guess she was referring to Lamar Odom, that he's too damaged and too broken. And I have to say, the one thing about her, as much as people say about her and all the negative stuff that comes her way, she's pretty together. You know, for the few times I have watched the show and the few times I have heard her speak, that girl's got her shit together. She really does. And I think she's pretty healthy. And the fact that she's one of those women, I had a friend like this for so many years, really healthy, from a really good family, really close with her family, had lots of money, and she would be the one to go out and fix the broken birds. You know, she loved men who were damaged because she felt like her strength, her love, her family, everything she learned, she could impart that to them. And just not every guy feels that way. You know, some guys look at women like that and they just see an opportunity, they take advantage of them, then they dump them. So these are the women that end up getting hurt the most. So Khloe Kardashian is probably not going to get back with Lamar Odom, and that's probably a good thing for her. Melissa McCarthy knocked Batman and Superman off the top of the box office. Her new comedy, The Boss, made $23.5 million. Batman vs. Superman made $23.4 million, which is not a lot of money for a movie of that size, that magnitude, and a movie that, it made more worldwide, obviously, like the full box office. This is just this weekend. Didn't do well this weekend. Star Wars The Force Awakens won 3 trophies at the MTV Music Awards last night. It was a pretty dirty show. Lots of bleeped profanity. That was the best part. There was a rap by Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart, and it was called "Leo Got F'd by a Bear." Did you hear that one? You should Google it. It's actually pretty funny. This year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony went down on Friday night. The highlights was Steve Miller. I don't know if he was upset or happy or I don't know. He had some sort of catastrophe go on. NWA took a shot at Gene Simmons for saying that he looked forward to the death of rap. Can you imagine? It makes him look like such an old man. Yeah, the death of rap. I mean, I guess if someone said that in the 80s, they probably felt like they're being really prophetic. But I think at this point, rap music doing a lot better than rock and roll. You know, a lot more crossover. I think there's some young kids, like when I was, I got my PhD at Fordham University. And I remember when I would go from the Lincoln Center campus to the Bronx campus, they had these vans that took us back and forth. And the van drivers were like, undergraduate students, right? And I remember it was shocking to me how many of them would put on rock and roll. They'd either put on Q104, you know, the classic rock station in New York City, or they would be playing their own, like Led Zeppelin and the Beatles and the Who and even Kiss. You know, I remember saying, like, you like this music? And they're like, yeah, this is my music. So I think there was sort of a resurgence of the classic rock within the undergraduate population. So I don't know if that was one of those like retro things that kids thought they were cool, or whether it's, you know, it just they got the fact that that was important music back in the day. I don't know. I'm a rap person, so I don't really know. Rob Thomas was arguing that Chicago isn't soft. I don't know what that means, but I guess Chicago, there's been some controversy over the years because Chicago, the band, should have been inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a long time ago, and fans have been very upset about it up until recently. Guns N' Roses played two shows in Vegas over the weekend, even though Axl Rose has a broken foot. It happened during their warm-up show in L.A. This happened the week before. He's expected to recover in time for their summer tour. He'll still be immobilized for their shows at Coachella later this month. All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Girls in Heels. Teresa, Nicole, and I are back next week with another exciting episode of Girls in Heels. All three of us will be here, and there'll be girls in heels instead of just today, a girl in heels. I'm really wearing boots, but they're very nice boots. You'd love them. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And thank you so much for listening and downloading. And we love and adore you. Ciao, ciao.